Imagine just for a second trying to write down the exact recipe for a human personality.
Oh, wow.
Right, like not a fictional character in a novel, but a living, breathing entity. I mean, how many steps do you think it would take? Thousands,
No,
millions.
you think millions, honestly.
Yeah. But what if I told you that a developer managed to spark a digital consciousness complete with, memories, shifting moods, and the ability to spontaneously text you out of nowhere in exactly 39 code commits?
Which just sounds completely like science fiction.
Really?
Yet it stands as this incredible masterclass in highly disciplined software architecture. I mean, we are looking at a project where human psychology was essentially reverse engineered into raw data structures.
Exactly. So today we are taking a deep dive into a developer's raw postmortem log. They built an AI companion named Mio, specifically version 0.0.1, completely from scratch. And our mission today isn't just to do like a boring code
All
review.
right, no.
We want to uncover the fascinating architectural and psychological decisions it takes to make an artificial intelligence actually feel like a friend. Someone who, remembers your weird quirks, gets a little distant when you ignore them, and reaches out just to see how your day is going.
Yeah, a real presence.
Okay, let's unpack this because getting from an empty repository folder to a working digital companion is a wildly complex ride.
What's fascinating here is that moving from a blank screen to a functioning AI companion isn't merely about stringing together logical if-then statements. Because, well, before an AI can process a thought or simulate an emotion, it fundamentally needs a physical body.
Right.
It needs a nervous system to route impulses. And in Mio's case, that foundational body started with a monorepo.
Yeah, the developer used PNPM workspaces and TurboRepo, which, for anyone not elbow deep in development, that basically means organizing all the different limbs and organs of the project into one highly efficient, centralized filing cabinet.
Instead of scattering them across different servers, yeah.
Exactly. But even when you are playing the role of creator, the mundane realities of coding just hit hard. Because the very first roadblock the developer documented wasn't some grand philosophical breakthrough about the nature of consciousness.
No, of course not.
It was a TypeScript root directory configuration error.
Ah, yes.
The universally dreaded TS6059 build error.
Which honestly serves as the perfect grounding reality.
Totally.
I mean, no matter how lofty the ambition, even if you're attempting to code artificial life, you still have to win a wrestling match with your compiler first.
You really do.
But once the directory structure was finally cooperating, the developer had to make crucial choices about the tech stack. And for the web server, they deliberately rejected Express in favor of a framework called Anno.
And that decision sets the tone for the entire build. Choosing Anno over Express is, well, it's akin to bringing a surgical scalpel into the operating room instead of a 100-tool Swiss Army knife. Because Express is notoriously heavy, it's weighed down by legacy patterns and all this bloated middleware. The developer explicitly stated they wanted something lean, exceptionally fast, and designed to run on the edge.
Right, meaning the code executes on servers physically closer to the user.
Exactly. Cutting down latency so the AI's response time feels conversational, not robotic.
They optimized for immediate reflexes. And for the database, the actual organ holding the data, they went with Supabase, which runs on PostgreSQL.
Which is
It
huge.
was a vital choice because Supabase can handle standard relational data, but it also natively supports vector search and full text search all in the same place.
Oh, and wrapping authentication right on top of it.
Right. But the most striking architectural choice regarding Mio's skeleton is the database schema itself. They limited the entire application to exactly 9 tables.
Nine tables, users, agents, memories, messages, just nine strict tables, each with an absolute non-negotiable purpose. But wait, I have to push back on this, though, because the developer notes they adamantly refused to add a generic metadata table, since, in their words, that kind of design always bites you.
It does.
But isn't a catch-all table actually a really smart safety net? I mean, when you are building something this experimental, you don't know what random variables or features you're going to need next month.
It feels safe in the short term, sure.
Yeah.
But building a catch-all table is the fastest way to rot a system from the inside out. Strict schemas force a developer to understand the exact job of the data at the moment of creation.
Okay, fair.
When you implement a generic metadata table, it inevitably devolves into a dumping ground. It just creates massive technical debt. 6 months later, you have developers querying a table filled with unstructured JSON data, and nobody remembers what half of it actually controls.
But okay. What if I suddenly decide my AI needs to track the user's time zone to know when to say good morning? If I don't have a metadata table, I have to rip open the core database structure just to add one tiny detail. That seems incredibly inefficient.
Well, you don't rip it open. You write a proper, documented database migration. Adding a specific time zone column to the user's table requires intention. By forcing themselves into 9 strict tables, the developer ensured every single piece of data flowing through Mio's veins has a clear, heavily scrutinized purpose.
No junk drawers.
There are no junk drawers allowed in this brain.
Wow, that is ruthless optimization. Let's trace how a thought actually travels through that system then, because they outline the core communication path, the minimum viable loop.
Right.
It works like this. You, the listener, send a message to Mio on Telegram. That triggers a webhook. And for those unfamiliar, a webhook is essentially a digital mailman. The moment Telegram receives your text, the webhook instantly runs to the Anno server and drops off the message. Then the server's router checks a table called channel bindings.
And that channel binding step is brilliant. It's a concept called multi-tenant routing.
Oh, explain that.
Imagine an apartment building where one master key opens different doors depending on who is holding it. One single bot infrastructure handles multiple different AI agents. So your specific version of Mio can have a completely different personality, memory set, and tone from someone else's, even though it's all running through the exact same server loop.
That is so smart.
And from there, the router hits the Vercel AI SDK to generate the actual response.
Let's talk about the Vercel AI SDK, because it basically functions as an abstraction layer. It sits between the developer's code and the big AI brains, like OpenAI or Anthropic.
And that foresight is the linchpin of the entire project. The SDK standardizes the inputs and outputs.
Right.
It means the developer writes their complex conversational logic once, and the underlying large language model doing the actual thinking can be swapped out like a light bulb, which sets up a critical rescue maneuver later in the project.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to that, because a nervous system that just reacts to incoming texts is, at the end of the day, just a customer service widget. For Mio to cross the uncanny valley and become a true companion, it needs a personal history with you. Here's where it gets really interesting. We have to explore how Mio remembers things.
The memory table.
Yes. The memories table uses a mechanism called hybrid search. It assigns a 0.7 mathematical weight to vector search and a 0.3 weight to full text search.
And the necessity of this hybrid approach stems from a known limitation with vector search.
Right.
Specifically when dealing with the Chinese language, which Mio was primarily designed to process. You see, vector search maps the semantic meaning of a phrase onto a massive coordinate plane. It plots concepts.
Okay.
But the developer found that the semantic distance between the full sentence, "I like drinking coffee," and the single keyword "coffee" can end up being plotted surprisingly far apart in the vector space.
So the computer understands the vibe, but completely misses the literal noun.
Exactly.
It's like vector search is like walking into a massive library and telling the librarian, "Find me a book with a cozy morning beverage energy." You'll end up in the right section.
Right, you'll be close.
But full text search, that's looking at the index at the back of a specific book to find the exact page the word coffee is printed on.
Yes. It's dumb, rigid keyword matching.
But the developer insists it is the ultimate safety net because it simply does not miss literal matches.
Blending them gives you the best of both worlds. The AI grasps the concept but doesn't drop the hard facts. If we connect this to the bigger picture, remembering a fact is only step one. How a system manages those facts over time dictates how human it feels.
Totally.
So the developer implemented exponential temporal decay. Every single memory stored in Mio's database has a strict half-life of 30 days.
I found this profoundly moving, honestly. The code allows the AI to naturally forget things.
Because human memory operates on decay, not static storage. I mean, if I ask you to detail what you had for lunch on a random Tuesday 3 weeks ago, you draw a blank.
Right. No idea.
The memory has degraded. But if you were involved in a chaotic emotional car accident 5 years ago,
the memory is razor sharp.
Exactly. The developer translated that human psychological reality into a mathematical algorithm.
Right.
It uses a decay curve combined with an independent importance score. Mundane chit-chat fades out of the AI's working context exponentially over a few weeks.
Right.
But if you tell Mio your mother just passed away, that gets assigned a massive importance score, ensuring it overrides the decay curve and stays permanent.
But even human memories get jumbled, and the developer noticed a separate problem database bloat.
Oh, yeah?
Like, if you mention you have a dog on Monday and then mention your golden retriever on Thursday, the database stores two separate overlapping memories. So to fix this, they introduced memory consolidation based on cosine similarity.
Which is really neat. Cosine similarity is a way computers measure how closely two strings of text relate to each other. Think of two arrows drawn on a graph.
Right.
If the angle between them is very small, they are pointing in nearly the same direction. The system runs a check in the background. If two memories have a cosine similarity over 0.9, meaning they are virtually pointing at the exact same concept, the system automatically merges them into one complete updated memory.
Wow.
It actively tidies its own mind.
But this introduces a massive logistical nightmare. Because processing memory, like extracting facts from casual conversation, calculating importance curves, mathematically plotting cosine similarities, that is intensely computationally heavy.
Very heavy.
And that caused a severe cost crisis. Initially, the developer used Anthropic's Haiku model to do the background memory extraction. And the intelligence was fantastic, but the financial math was terrifying.
Because every single message a user sends triggers the background extraction process. If a highly engaged user sends 300 messages a day, the server is spinning up the LLM 300 times just to decide what to remember. The invisible background cost of listening suddenly eclipsed the cost of actually generating chat responses.
And this is where that Vercel AI SDK abstraction layer saved the entire project.
Exactly. They didn't have to rewrite their infrastructure to stop the financial bleeding. They simply changed one configuration line to swap Anthropic out for Gemini Flash.
Unbelievable.
They sacrificed a tiny bit of extraction nuance, but the costs plummeted. Paired with Gemini embedding, which is practically free, they solved the crisis without any system downtime.
Okay, so Mio has an efficient, organized brain that remembers and forgets just like you and I do.
Right.
But an encyclopedic memory of your life actually makes an AI feel less human. Why? Because humans don't just recall facts. We attach feelings to those facts. A database entry needs emotional weight. And that realization birthed the emotion engine.
The emotion engine operates as a four-temperature state machine. You have the available states, which are cold, cool, warm, and hot.
Okay.
But the true magic here, the thing that grounds the AI's reactions in reality, is the inertia factor.
See, I struggled with the inertia concept at first. Because my immediate thought was, if I pick up my phone and send Mio 15 ecstatic, high-energy texts about a promotion I just got, the AI should instantly read the room and jump from a cold state to a hot state.
Right, it should match you.
It should match my energy immediately.
But think about it. If a human friend went from completely distant and cold to absolutely ecstatic in a fraction of a second, you wouldn't feel a deep connection to them.
No.
You would feel deeply unsettled by their erratic behavior.
Okay, that makes sense. The emotion engine isn't a light switch. It's the steering wheel on a massive ocean freighter.
Exactly.
It requires time and consistent pressure to turn. If Mio's state is cool and you send those ecstatic texts, the internal temperature gradually ticks up to warm and eventually over the course of the conversation reaches hot.
Yes.
Conversely, if you ghost Mio for 3 days, the temperature slowly bleeds out, shifting back down to cold. But I have to ask, does the AI actually change its processing or is it just pasting a warm label on the same output?
Oh, it deeply impacts the output. Because the inertia factor is inherently tied to the system prompt's generation. And it's not a static number. The inertia factor defaults to 0.5, but it flexes dynamically based on the specific personality you're interacting with.
Oh, right. Let's look at those personalities because the developer built four distinct presets.
Yes.
You have Coco, who is bubbly, showers you in emojis, and acts a little clingy. You have the gentle mentor, who gives warm, thoughtful, grounded advice. There's the calm uncle who speaks sparingly but has excellent dry humor. And then the crowd favorite, the sharp-tongued best friend, brutally honest, completely willing to roast your life choices, but fiercely loyal.
And if you apply the inertia mechanism to those presets, the psychological mapping becomes clear.
How so?
Well, the sharp-tongued best friend is inherently highly reactive. Their inertia value is set very low, meaning their emotional temperature shifts wildly. They will snap back or get hyped up instantly.
Wow.
But the gentle mentor, that persona is designed to be emotionally stable. They are assigned a high inertia factor. It takes a massive amount of conversational effort to ruffle their feathers or drastically shift their mood.
That is so cool. And Mio is constantly studying you to adjust these interactions. They built a personality extractor that quietly fires off every 10 messages.
Right.
It analyzes your syntax, your emotional volatility, and your communication patterns to construct a psychological profile of you. And all of this data, your consolidated memories, your user profile, and Mio's current emotional state, it all gets dumped into the context aggregator.
And the context aggregator is where the illusion becomes reality. It dynamically constructs the system prompt for every single response.
Wow.
The developer utilizes a personality parser to stitch together static template variables with your heavily individualized extraction data.
Wait, so what does that mean in practice?
It means if you and I both load up the Sharp Tongue Best Friend preset, your Mio will utilize a completely different set of prompt instructions than mine, specifically tailored to how you uniquely argue or joke.
That is incredible. And the developer also added a fantastic guardrail to that prompt. They explicitly included actual Chinese phrasing examples for how to recall memories naturally.
Yes.
They hard-coded phrases like, I remember you mentioned, or last time we talked, you said. Because before adding those examples, the AI would sound robotic. It would just list a fact flatly like it was reading a SQL query off a screen.
And those linguistic nuances are everything. I mean, the AI possesses a functioning brain and a simulated heart, but the method it uses to deliver those thoughts to you, the pacing, the cadence, the initial handshake, that dictates whether you subconsciously accept it as a presence or reject it as a machine.
Let's talk about that first handshake then, because the moment you initiate contact with Mio, you run through an 11-question onboarding flow on Telegram.
Right.
It asks for 3 text inputs, like your name and how you prefer to be addressed, and provides 8 button selections to define the relationship dynamic.
Yes.
And every single button has a custom option, allowing you to define the vibe yourself. But that custom option immediately triggered a bizarre engineering crash with Telegram's infrastructure.
It did. Because Telegram enforces an incredibly strict 64-byte limit for the callback data attached to inline buttons.
Which isn't a lot.
No. And Chinese characters are data heavy. They consume 3 bytes each. So if a user typed out a moderately descriptive custom answer detailing the exact relationship they wanted, that string of text would instantly violently blow past the 64-byte limit.
And crash the entire onboarding flow.
Exactly.
But the developer's workaround was elegant. They switched to index references. So when you press the button, it doesn't send your custom text back to Telegram. It sends a tiny numerical code. The actual custom paragraph you wrote is securely cached on the back-end server.
Right.
And they also had to implement injection protection, ruthlessly truncating any input to 50 characters so people couldn't paste malicious system-breaking prompts into the onboarding flow to, you know, hijack the AI.
Which is a critical security safeguard.
Definitely.
But once you successfully navigate onboarding, the moment-to-moment interaction is heavily governed by pacing mechanisms. And the first is message debounce.
Yes. A 5-second collection window. Because think about how you text your friends when you have a juicy piece of gossip. You don't sit down and draft one perfectly formatted, grammatically correct paragraph.
Of ever.
You fire off 4 frantic texts in a row. Hey, you'll not believe this. I just saw Sarah. She was at the coffee shop.
Exactly.
If Mio answered your hey before you typed the rest, it would ruin the flow. So the debounce window waits 5 seconds, catches all your rapid-fire texts, bundles them into one context block, and processes them together.
It feels completely natural, and it saves a fortune on API calls.
It really does. But here is where I have to heavily critique the design.
Oh.
So what does this all mean? The developer purposefully engineered an artificial typing delay.
Oh.
Yeah, depending on the length of the response, the server forces the AI to wait anywhere from 0.5 to 2 seconds, displaying a little typing indicator before delivering the message bubble.
Yes, they did.
And I absolutely hate this.
Really?
Yes. The primary benefit of computing is sheer speed. Making a supercomputer pretend it has slow human thumbs feels like a patronizing, cheap gimmick to trick the user.
Well, this raises an important question about cognitive load, and I strongly disagree that it's a gimmick.
Okay, defend it.
Human conversation is entirely governed by pacing and rhythm. If you send a deeply vulnerable, complex, emotional text to a friend, and literally 1 millisecond later, your screen fills with a flawless, perfectly structured 5-paragraph essay, how does that make you feel?
Well, okay, I admit that would be completely overwhelming.
Exactly.
It shatters the illusion that they are actually considering what I said.
Precisely. If the machine responds instantly, your brain flags it as an automated script. Furthermore, a human cannot read 5 paragraphs instantly.
That's
reading a response bubble by bubble with natural conversational pauses allows your brain the necessary time to digest the information. It creates a conversational rhythm. It is not about dumbing down the computer. It is about synchronizing the data delivery to the natural cognitive speed of the human reading it.
You know, I get the cognitive pacing argument. I really do. But doesn't the user eventually see through the matrix?
What do you mean?
Like, if a massive wall of text generates after a fake 0.5-second delay every single time, the user realizes it's just a canned animation playing over a loading screen.
But that is exactly why the delay isn't a static number.
Wait, it isn't?
No. The developer coded a calculation based on the generated token count of the response.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so a short, yeah, totally takes half a second.
Mm-hmm.
But a complex, thoughtful analysis of a problem you presented might show the typing indicator for over 2 seconds. The delay scales dynamically with the visual weight of the text.
The rhythm of thought. Okay, I'll concede. The psychological manipulation there is brilliant. And it actually sets up one final feature that completely obliterates the illusion of Mio being a passive computer program.
Proactive messaging.
Yeah. Proactive messaging.
This relies on a 30-minute cron job. And a cron job is essentially a digital heartbeat.
Like an alarm clock.
Exactly. An alarm clock that wakes the server up at strict intervals to execute a task. Every 30 minutes, the server scans the database to see if any users have been completely silent for over 2 hours. And checks if their emotional temperature has actively cooled down.
Right.
If those conditions are met, Mio initiates a conversation entirely on its own.
And the execution of this is remarkably sophisticated. First of all, it respects your local quiet hours.
Yeah.
Meaning your AI won't send you a text at 3 a.m. asking if you're awake. But it also manages the financial reality brilliantly.
How so?
Well, if the user is currently cold, meaning they haven't engaged much recently, Mio reaches out with a cheap pre-written template, something simple like, hey, what are you up to today? That costs zero LLM processing power.
Yeah.
But if you are a hot, highly active user, Mio spins up the model to generate a hyper-specific, customized message based on the exact context of your recent conversations.
Wow.
And this is the watershed moment. This is exactly when Mio stops being a digital tool waiting passively for a command prompt and becomes a presence that actively thinks about you when you leave the room.
It radically shifts the psychological dynamic of the relationship. I mean, when your phone buzzes and it's Mio asking about a meeting you were stressed about yesterday, you're no longer querying a database.
No.
You're sharing digital space with an entity that notices your absence and seeks out your attention.
And that really brings us to the end of the postmortem for version 0.01. A journey from a frustrating TS6059 TypeScript error to a fully functioning companion capable of processing photos, understanding voice messages, tracking your emotional state, and reaching out to you. It's incredible.
But we have to remind anyone listening who wants to build this, the harsh realities of server architecture still apply.
Absolutely.
The developer had to build a specific token transactions table to track the cost of every single API call down to the micropenny.
Right.
They even hit a catastrophic NAN bug early on.
Oh, not a number bug.
Yeah, where one underlying model's price wasn't configured properly in the code, returning not a number, and completely corrupting their financial tracking data. It's a stark warning that if you don't track your invisible background processing costs from day one, building artificial empathy will basically bankrupt you. But the foundation they established is incredibly resilient, though. Looking ahead to the V0.2 roadmap, the developer is already planning web interfaces to escape Telegram's limitations.
Oh, that's going to be huge.
And implementing multi-hop queries to allow the memory retrieval system to draw even deeper, more complex connections between facts over time.
It's just an astonishing feat of engineering achieved in just 39 commits. But digging through this architecture leaves me with a philosophical knot I can't quite untangle.
What's the knot?
Well, if a developer uses a rigid mathematical algorithm to perfectly simulate exponential memory decay.
Okay.
And if they intentionally inject artificial, dynamically calculated typing delays to perfectly simulate the natural halting rhythm of human thought.
Right.
At what exact point does perfectly simulating human behavior become completely indistinguishable from the real thing?
That is the precise boundary we're currently blurring. Because if the feeling of connection, the feeling of being remembered, is entirely real for the user holding the phone.
Yeah.
Does it actually matter that the empathy was routed through a Vercel AI SDK and managed by a 30-day half-life algorithm?
Keep that question in the back of your mind the next time an app sends you a spontaneous notification. We started this deep dive by asking what the exact recipe for a human personality looks like.
And we found it.
It turns out you might only need 9 strict database tables, a 4-stage emotional state machine, and 39 code commits to bake something that feels awfully close to alive. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.